Daddy doesn't have all the answers, but I guarantee you what, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to, you know, talk with you guys and we'll figure it out as a unit.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by Movember.
We are Movember, the leading charity changing the face of men's health. Mental health and suicide prevention, prostate cancer and testicular cancer, we're taking them all on. Movember is more than a month. We are a year-round men's health movement because taking care of your physical and mental health is important 365 days a year. Movember knows that being a dad can come with some specific challenges, like the meltdown in the supermarket, the crocodile tears before bed, and the glued-to-the-screen routine. So we've created Family Man, a free online tool featuring proven parenting strategies developed alongside leading global child behavior experts and designed for dads. The interactive episodes help you navigate common, tricky parenting situations built with advice from experts on how to look at parenting from a new perspective. Learn by doing and broaden your parenting skills with Family Man. Visit familyman.movember.com and check out the free modules with actionable parenting advice that works. That's familyman.movember.com.
What's up, everybody? Art Eddy here for The Art of Fatherhood and on the line. I'm very happy to have J.R. Martinez. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
I'm well, man. Thank you for having me on. What's going on?
Yeah, man. Looking forward to chatting with you. Got to say a big thanks to Movember for setting this podcast up because I'm looking forward to chatting with you about fatherhood, talking about the great stuff that you're working with Movember, especially around this Father's Day and all that other great stuff, the things that you've got going on too. I want to get into that. And first and foremost, I know people might say this a lot to you, but I want to thank you for your service. I have family and friends in the military. I know the stuff that they've gone through, the stuff that you've gone through, if people, you know, read your book and just read, you know, the up on you and the different interviews. So as a guy who appreciates what you do and the idea that we can live in a country for this. So thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate that. And I want to extend that to the listeners right now that, you know, have served in the military as well, but maybe don't have the luxury that I have where people are aware that they served in the military, are aware that they've deployed multiple times, or maybe they didn't, but they wore the uniform and people don't come up to them and say thank you. So I want to extend that thank you that you just shared with me, man, and just give it out to everybody listening right now. If you're a service member, if you're a veteran, if you're a family member, I want you to know as well that what he just shared with me, that goes to you as well. So, for me, man, the service continues though, right? Like it's just different. It looks different now. It's a different uniform. It's a different weapon now. It's a different platform, but at the end of the day, the root of everything that I do is deeply embedded in service. That is my purpose. And that's one of the gifts that the military gave me. And so I just try to like use my scars and my platform as a way to garnish attention for people to then stop and listen to hopefully what I have to say that is of meaning and has some education around it. And one of the biggest things I try to remind people is that, you know, not all veterans look like me. You know, and I don't mean that like as a kind of a surface thing, a cliche thing to say. I mean, literally look like me as someone who has a physical injury, right? Like there are so many veterans out there that have emotional, mental scars that no one can see, that in some cases they don't even identify quite yet. So for me, it's like trying to talk to the general public and, you know, frequently about mental health and how that is something that not only exists in our society, because it does, but also exists in our military. And there are a lot of men and women that are out there suffering every single day. So that's why I think it's important for me to say to everybody, look, we love you. We acknowledge your service as well. And just know that, you know, we got you. There are so many people out there that got you, that are willing to completely show up for you and listen to you and allow you to start that journey to a recovery.
Yeah, well said, sir. And again, I appreciate you sharing that with everybody too. And I think my listeners can agree with what you said. So thank you for everybody who has served past and present and everything you've gone through. So thank you very much for that. And of course, love talking fatherhood with great guys like yourself. So on social media, people follow you, man. I heard you guys are expecting baby number two. Awesome ears on that. Before we talk about baby number two, take me back when you found out you're going to be a dad for the first time. What was going through your mind, sir?
You know, man, I wasn't ready. And, it was like that book, you know, what to expect when you're expecting, right? And I was like, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what to do. I don't know what it's like. And you start asking yourself, right? I don't have this established. This isn't established. Because you think that when you start to to start this journey of becoming a parent, a father in this case, you're like, I got to have everything like lined up. Everything has to be queued up and, you know, just centered. And it did, you know, for me, it was just more of a sort of a little bit of a panic, like, all right, like, what do I got to do? Like, how does this work? Right. Are we ready? Like, what's our life going to be like? Because for me, I was at, from a career standpoint, I was like at the peak of my career. I mean, that's when I was on Dancing with the Stars. I mean, I was like busy. I wasn't around. I knew what was going to happen after dancing. I was going to be busy, travel a lot. So then I started asking myself, like, man, is like, how am I going to manage this? You know, I'm not going to be home a lot. So there was a lot of doubt. And then, you know, I came around to like, okay, JR, stop, you know, worrying so much about that stuff. That stuff will figure it out. And honestly, one of the things that I had to remind myself of is I remember when in 2010, so 2 years before our daughter was born, I got a black lab. And I remember it was at this charity event and I got him and like a complete surprise to me. They gifted the dog to me. They were like, we saw the connection you had with him here. And immediately my mind went to like, oh my God, I'm so happy, but I'm always on the road. I'm always traveling. How is this going to work? And I realized I just did. Yeah. I just did. And again, I know there's people out there listening, like having a pet is not the same as having a child. I'm like, no, I didn't say that. But it is a good introduction, right? Yeah. You can't leave, unless it's a cat, you can't leave the dog for hours on end and expect them to take care of themselves. You know, you got to come home at a certain time. You got to give them attention. You know, like they depend on you so much. And so I just kind of reminded myself like, all right, I figured it out with the lab, right? I'll figure it out. And, you know, and I just remember, we were actually talking about this the other day. My wife was telling somebody how she remembers vividly the reaction on my face when we went in and they said that we were going to have a girl, that my face was like, oh, that's great. Hey. Hey. Cause I had no idea. I was like, yo, I don't know what to do. Like, how do you, like, I go to the standard things of like, I don't know how to do her hair. I don't, you know, like, you know, it was just like, no, there was so much more than that. Right. And, you know, then, you know, but I'm also like this personality, man, where I'm like, no, we got this. Like we're, and so I remember being in the hospital after she was born because my wife had a C-section and we were there for a couple of days. And the first night, I think it was the first night, maybe the second night, our daughter was crying. She's just crying. And so my wife is like, yo, let's just call in the, what do they call the doula, call in the doula, right? Yeah. Call her in. And I was like, no, because at the end of the day, we're going home and she's not going to be there. It's just going to be us. So we got to figure this out. We're parents now. Daughter's still crying. I'm pacing around the room, trying to get her to stop, comfort her, nothing. So finally, I was like, all right, fine, call her in. So then she comes in. The lady comes in, really nice. Like, it looked like she was 10, first of all. She walks in and she's like, so what's going on? As she's talking to us, she takes the baby from me. She takes our daughter from me. Yeah. And she's like, so what's going on? And we're like, yeah. And all she's doing is like swaddling her. You know, she's like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, boom. And then she picked her up, stopped. As she's talking to us, I was like, yo, what did you do? what those hands, the power you have in those hands? And it was like that moment where it was so, you know, piercing, where I was like, first of all, JR, you don't have it all figured out. You can't do it by yourself. You're going to have to like ask for help and figure out, you know, some tips and tricks here and there. But that was such a moment that stands out to me because I was just so stuck on, I got this. I could do this. We're going to do this on our own. And then, you know, she came in and within a matter of seconds comforted her.
Yeah. I see again that. So many things you've said right there. I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate the idea of like, all right, I think having worry and how am I going to do this? All of these things makes you a good dad, because if you're just like, all right, okay, we're pregnant, let's see what happens, you know, like, then it'll just be like, okay, what are you doing? Right. But right. The nervousness. And I think especially with guys, we're going to get into, you know, just mental health and just guys and like how we need to unwind and have our own time, but so we can be good husbands and also dads, right? So we're going to get into that in a second, but I just, everything you're saying, I am agreeing with. And the swaddling, like no one tells you, maybe in the books there are, but you really don't, like, okay, swaddle, fine, right? You glance past that, but it was just like they love being like a burrito, and you didn't know that, right?
She was like a little, she wasn't even a burrito, it was more like a gyro, right? Like it was open at the end because that's where her head is, so it's like it's still open, you gotta allow some room there, and you know, but it was like, I mean, it or one like it was like insane that was a simple thing, but. You know, my daughter taught me so much, man. When she came in, I mean, we weren't planning to have a baby at that time. I'm going to be completely honest with everybody. She has taught me so much and still continues to be such an important teacher. And I think that was one of the things, you know, yes, I'm the father. I'm the adult, right? However, I quickly learned, like, no, like sometimes, you know, I have to give her space to vocalize something with me that I did that makes her unhappy or a mistake that I made. And so vulnerability is something that is so important to me because it was established between me and my best friend where he allowed me to cry and vent and share and get emotional. But that wasn't something I wasn't conditioned. Man, my dad dipped when I was 9 months old. You know, like the men that I had in my life were abusive towards my mother. I witnessed other men in the neighborhood that were equally abusive to their women. I mean, it, depending on what kind of genre of music sometimes you listen to, right? Like they sort of the way they speak about women. So it was kind of like this example of what it meant to be a man, what it meant to be a father was very like just warped in many ways in my mind. I had no idea, no foundation, nobody to really lean on. And luckily my best friend came into my life and we established this relationship where he is like my father because he's 17 years older than me. He's like my brother. We fight like we're brothers, but he's my mentor. Like he literally is my pops and he has a daughter. And so, you know, who's now 22 years old. And so he was really the instrument that allowed me to understand what it means to be a father. And so that is the big thing is that when you talk about JR, I really appreciate your willingness to be vulnerable and just say, hey, listen, I didn't have it all figured out. I also don't keep that to just me and strangers, right? Or people outside of my house. That is known in my house that I don't have all the answers and I'm willing to be vulnerable with my wife and my daughter and our future children to let them know like, hey, daddy doesn't have all the answers, but I guarantee you what, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to, you know, talk with you guys and we'll figure it out as a unit.
So refreshing. And I think sometimes we have the idea because the idea that you're saying like, hey, I can fail. I'm not going to have all the right answers, right? And my wife and I try and do the same exact thing with our daughters. And man, not that my parents are pressuring me like, you have to get good grades. You have to do this. You have to like excel here and there. Growing up, I'm 42. And like the idea of that, our generation where it's like, do this, you got to do that, you got to do this and all these other things. And it's like, well, what happens if I fail? And I remember I still to this day in high school, a biology test that I just completely failed on. I can like break down like all the different parts of the heart because I'm like, all right, I got to do the retest. I got to do all this other stuff, right? And when my daughter, who's now in seventh grade, but her sixth grade teacher said, you know what FAIL stands for? First attempt in learning. And for her to say that to me, and I'm like, this is a teachable moment. Yes, I have failed and I have learned from my mistakes. I've gotten, you know, A's and B's most of the times in school, but like I've gotten C's, D's and F's and I've learned more from that. And so for you to share that with your kids, with your daughter and the child on the way, I think that is perfect. And I think that takes a load off of their backs just being like, oh, you can be vulnerable. You can make mistakes. Own up for your mistakes. Cause I know you're telling, and I'm doing the same thing. It's like you make a mistake. Like we tell our kids, communication is key. We want the honesty. Even if it's something you think we're going to flip out on, be honest, because if you lie to us and then the truth comes out after, you don't want any of that, right?
Yes. Oh my God. Look, I had this conversation with our daughter a couple of times and she's the type of kid that she doesn't want to disappoint you. If she senses that we're disappointed in her, that is more devastating. We grounded her one time in her life in 9 years, right? Because we're blessed, man. She's a great kid, right? Other times, the grounding, she actually told us before we grounded her, she had told us that, oh, she was like, oh, I want to be grounded one day. I want to see what it feels like, right? And then when we finally grounded her, she was devastated, but she was like, okay, that's my punishment. I got it. But yeah, it affected her. But what other times that I felt that it's really affected her is when we're upset with her and we're like, you know, we're really disappointed in you, Lauren. And you can just see the eyes welling up. because all we do is tell her, great job on that. Great job on that. But we're also going to give you constructive criticism. And I tell my wife all the time, because my wife sometimes says, like, you know, maybe you're being a little tough on her. I was like, I want her to understand that when she, as she grows up, the different spaces that she's going to be in, people are going to speak to her. Men are going to speak to her in different tones. Not everything's going to be like, okay, let's sit down and let's talk. I understand you have to figure out how to communicate with certain personalities. I get that. It's like having emotional intelligence, right? Like, yeah, part of emotional intelligence is being able to not only process your own emotions, your own feelings, but then be able to process others and understand how to speak to them. And, you know, like, I know I could probably talk to you and be like, yo, man, like, come on, get your stuff together. But if I said that to my wife, she would shut down, because that's just not the way she communicates. And so for me, I'm trying to introduce my daughter as well to these different elements of communication and the way people, not everybody's going to have the tools to be able to come to you and say, okay, I understand Lauren communicates this way. Let me change my tone. No, they're just going to have one level, one speed, go, but I can't have you shut down just because that's not something that, you know, you typically like. I need to introduce you to that. And so, yeah, man, I tell you what, man, 2 years ago, this is another part of like fatherhood that's pretty trippy for me. But 2 years ago, I got a chance to meet my dad for the first time. I remember sitting with him, and of course, that $1 million question, and like, where'd you go? Like, what happened? You got sent out to get bread and you got lost? Like, whatever. Like, what's going on? And he was like, straight up, he was just like, man, I'm sorry. I just forgot about you. Like, straight up, I forgot about you. And I can tell you, man, like, one of the most proudest moments that I had as a father so far is I remember when our daughter was 5 years old, I had a speaking engagement in Denver, but it was a summertime. So I was like, take the wife and take the kid. So we go, my wife and never been to Colorado. So we rent a car, we had a free day, and we were driving up, and I was driving up to this mountain. Beautiful day, had the windows down, sunny. Life is good. And we come to the stop sign, and my daughter in the back seat says to me, she's out of nowhere, Daddy, where's your daddy? And I paused, and, you know, my wife and I gave each other that look, like, okay, you know, it's like, okay. And how do I answer to this? And I said, well, sweetie, I said, my daddy, I don't know my daddy, because this was obviously before I met him. I said, I don't know my daddy because he wasn't ready to be a daddy. That's what I said. That was like, he just wasn't ready to be a daddy. I keep driving. She pauses. And then she's like, well, I'm really happy that you were ready to be a daddy, because you're an awesome daddy. Dude, like, try not to swerve off of a mountain. Yeah. Right. Oh, like, man. But the reason why that pierces, not only as a parent, especially as a father, that pierces regardless of the journey, but the reason that pierces me differently, my wife and I have a unique story in a sense of where the first year we were dating, we find out we're expecting. 2 years or a year after our daughter, when she turned a year, we split up. We weren't together. We tried for a couple times, but we weren't consistently together. My daughter moved back to New York with her mother. That's where her mother's from, is New York. I was all over the place, and I would frequently go to New York and spend a week or 2 weeks. I would take her, you know, like, I wasn't in like every day in her life, but I tried so hard to fly there and to be with her. And then luckily my wife and I were able to finally like work through a lot of the things that it was just miscommunication, and it was me not trusting and me not being vulnerable. And then when we finally got there, now we're in the same house and now we're expanding our family. So for her to make that comment, it was like the reward of everything, of all the moments that I wished I had her in my house. I wished that I can just go upstairs and give her a kiss, and I couldn't. The times I spent watching videos and photos from 2 weeks ago when we were together. And so, like, I mean, I tell people, like, when people look at me, especially like, I got a buddy, you know, going through, you know, a challenge right now in his relationship with his kids and, or with his ex and his children, you know, and I told him, I was like, dude, because he was like, did you ever go through this? I was like, dude, I had to pay child support, like, with the kid that's now in my house. Yeah. Like, I had this, we had this crazy arc of a story, but it was all worth it for that moment, because it allowed me what my father taught me by him still not being in my life. What he did teach me was, you, even though you don't got it all figured out, even though this wasn't what you were planning, you don't dip, you don't leave on, you don't walk out on your kids. You don't need to give them X amount of dollars. You don't need to give them X amount of toys. You just need to be present. Presence versus presence. And for me, that is one of the biggest things that I understand now, my daughter's love language. And if you haven't read that book, you have to read that book. The Five Love Languages is right above my head right now. Totally and not agree. Only should you read it related to your partner, you should read it to understand your children as well. Because I now know that my daughter's love language, number one, is quality time. And guess what? I've already established, because of my experience with my pops, I'm going to give you quality time. I'm not going to abandon you. As long as I'm still walking this earth, I will be in your life one way or another, whether I'm perfect or not.
JR, oh man, like just the story about you guys, what she said to you, and like you broke the cycle, right? You broke the cycle of abandonment and you took it upon yourself with all this, like, to hear that, and you and your wife are like going through some times, and then like you became like, all right, this is, I need to talk to you. I need communication. I need to show that I can be vulnerable. All of these things led up to where you guys are now, right? And again, there's no right way to be a dad, but if you, like you said, everything that you are doing, like you're gonna, as long as you're walking this earth, you're gonna be there for her. And for her to say that to you, I mean, that's the best thing you can receive as a parent, just hearing those things from your child. And again, like kudos to you, man, for breaking that cycle. Because a lot of people are like, well, if you felt this way, you know, when your dad abandoned you, then you should know like all this other stuff. But there's so many things that like underlying things that people go through, right? With abandonment, with whatever baggage you're holding from other generations before you. So for you to do that, man, I applaud you. And again, I'm so appreciative of your honesty, because I know some people who are going through some similar things that you're going through, they're like, I'm not alone. JR went through that. Right. And look, he worked through it, and now he's with his family again all the time.
And,
right.
So love it. Yeah, man. I appreciate that. And you know, it took a lot of work. It wasn't, you know, I always remind people, you know, when we want nice things, because all of us like nice things and want things, you know, most of the time there's very few people in this world that are like, I want that thing and I'm just going to pay straight cash, homie. Like Randy Moss said, right? Straight cash, homie. And then walk out and never have to worry about a payment again. Right. Yep. Like Deion Sanders said, that was going to charge so much money. They're going to put me on layaway. Right. Like, it's like most of us know about layaway. Not many of us know straight cash, homie. Yep. And the point of that is that most of us are understand a payment plan for any nice thing that we want in life. And the reason I say that, man, is because, you know, we get so accustomed to thinking that it's one decision, it's one choice, it's one opportunity that's going to change our lives. And it's going to be, and it's like, no, anything nice that you want in life, you have to make multiple payments. Like in some cases, it's 12 payments. Sometimes it's 36 payments. Sometimes it's 30 years worth of payments to have that thing that you own one day.
Yeah.
But the point is like, we have to frequently, consistently make decisions and choices. And so, and how that relates to this conversation is that with my daughter, one day, my mother was great. My mother only had limited resources, limited tools, right? My mother dealt with a lot of loss, a lot of abandonment, essentially that generated a lot of fear and concern that she would lose the only consistent thing that has been in her life, which was me for the first 18 years, right, of my life. And so suddenly when I decided to move on to the military, and then I was after the military moving around the country and all over the place, my mother started projecting all her fears. You're abandoning me. You're leaving me, attacking me, right? And so my natural instinct as a young boy, because I was conditioned to be this way, was to make her happy and to fix it and to like, but it was all temporary stuff. And my mom would then, if God forbid, I went off to start my own thing, my own family, and gave tension somewhere else, she would attack me verbally, saying I'm a bad son, saying this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I bought you a house. I did this. I did that.
Yeah.
And what it did is one day, I remember during that period where my wife and I were separated, I remember having my daughter at my house. I was giving her a bath, going through the routine, and she started crying, saying she missed mommy. And she had just come to the house. She was going to be with me for 2 days and she was going back. And I said to her, I was like, what, you don't love daddy? You don't love me? Like, you just saw mommy. You don't love me? What do you mean? Like, right? And she's like, no, I do love you, daddy. And she's crying. I love you so much, daddy. I do love you. She was 4 years old when this happened. And I'm dumping. I'm doing this. I'm repeating that cycle. You talked about breaking cycles. I'm repeating it. And I caught myself in the middle. And I was like, okay, sweetie, it's all right. You know, like, let's go to bed. So she went to bed. I called my best friend and I was like, yo, I just did it. I'm doing the same thing my mom did to me for so long, guilting me, because I'm afraid of the abandonment. I'm afraid of losing somebody too. And it took a lot of therapy, and it took a lot of me diving in and really understanding that about myself to then not repeat that with my daughter. And so now, like, I'm so secure in my relationship with her. And if she's like, oh, I want to go talk to mommy instead, I'm like, cool. You know, you guys have your conversation. Go talk. Cause I know there's a different tone with her. I get it. I know how daddy can be. I know that everything is like this serious thing with me, but go do your thing. And I don't take any offense to it anymore.
Oh man. Again. Yeah. You know, I was talking about breaking the cycle of abandonment, but then like you were in that moment seeing yourself and be like, I'm passing what my mom did now to my daughter. Right.
Yeah.
We've all been there. Like there are certain things that like, you always like, you know, joke like, oh, it's not like my mom or it's not like my dad, whatever the case may be. Right. And there's certain times, like I'll admit, like while I'm going through it, like I have like this moment where like, it's like an existential moment where I see myself talking to my kids or saying, you need to do this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you can just chill right now. But for some reason, I didn't have that epiphany. You're like, hey, I should stop this. Like you did it, you know, while you're giving your daughter a bath. And then you feel bad. And you're like, at night, you're like, why did I keep on going? Like there was someone saying like, hey, throw in the towel. Like in Apollo Creed, you know, the trainer in Rocky IV, like throw in the towel,
no,
man. Right.
No, yeah. No more.
So all of that's going on. And you're just like, what's going on? And then I think that's the point where I failed as a dad. Right. And then they go to bed and you're just still thinking about it. I finally went to bed, and the next morning I apologized and I'm like, dad, it's okay. And it's like, kids are resilient. Doesn't mean you can still be like being mean, but I'm just saying like, they will forgive you if you're honest in your ask for forgiveness.
Yes.
Right?
I remember a couple of Father's Days ago, we lived in New York at the time. And I remember we went out to, you know, brunch, and then we were walking. We lived close to the pier. So we were walking out to the pier. It was me, my daughter, my wife, my in-laws, and I'm holding my daughter. I'm carrying her. And at one point, everybody was a little ahead of us. And I said to her, I was like, I love you so much, you know, and literally you are the best thing that's ever happened to me. And, you know, she says to me, I'm sorry that sometimes daddy does get upset. You know, daddy does, you know, raise his voice. I'm sorry that. And she's like, it's okay, daddy. It's okay. And I was like, I stopped and I took her little face and I was like, it's not okay. I don't want you to think that that is okay. That's the way communication supposed to happen. And I said, daddy's wrong. Okay. Daddy's trying to learn. And it was just, you know, just, and it's so rewarding when you can have that honest conversation with your children like that and just, you know, and let them see your heart. It's incredibly rewarding, man. So I love, and I look at her now, and sometimes I jokingly tell people, I was like, there's three parents now. Like there's three parents. This new kid is going to have three parents. And sometimes I think it's, if people say, well, there's really two. And I'm like, yeah, I would argue that I think it's my wife and my daughter sometimes. Like, I tell my daughter, my wife says, like, JR is like her big brother right now, because I'm like always teasing her, messing with her. She's crying. She goes to my wife, and my wife's like, babe, can you stop? Like, it's literally like I'm her older brother, like just annoying the hell out of her. And so, you know, it's just like you start to see the reward of all of this stuff start to come later down the road.
No doubt. Yeah. Just letting you know, if you have that, you know, in your oldest daughter, in your older daughter right now, like, when your new baby comes, guess what? Because she's like, we tell our oldest Lily, like, stop being the parent. Like, she's like, Jordan, we're not gonna be able to watch the show tonight until you're done with your broccoli. Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, are you the parent? Like, what's going on? Like, just chill, right? So buckle up for that, man. One more question.
I love it.
I was gonna say one more question before we get into like the great stuff you're doing with Movember. We're gonna talk about the comedy night as well. A lot of the questions that I had for you, you kind of already answered through the different things, but you know, because I was gonna ask you, like, what is one big piece of advice you offer to new dads? And like, you know, it's like, don't beat yourself up, and you're gonna make mistakes, but just apologize for that. We talked about the new one coming on the way, so you're gonna go from a, you know, a zone to a man to man, right? So you're ready. You and your wife are ready for that.
Yeah.
But talk about something that your daughter right now has taught you about yourself that you'd like to share with us.
Oh, that is so, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing is to slow down and to just really be present. I really think that, because early, and she intentionally taught me that, I remember when her as a baby, and I was on the road a lot, and I had to work, right? That was my job, and it required me to leave. And I just remember coming home one time and seeing a completely different baby. Like from when I left 2 weeks ago, I was like, yo, she's changed so much, right? And when they're infants and, you know, that young, they change so frequently. And I just remember thinking that and just saying to myself, whatever, I understand people have to work and people have to be pulled away. I get that. But when life now brings me back into the same space with her, I need to put everything away and just focus on her. I need to look her in the eye. I don't know how to play with dolls. I don't know how to play the things that she enjoys playing with, but I'm going to be there and just ask questions and use my imagination. And so for me, it really just comes down to, you know, stopping and really focusing on being present. I mean, I think that for me, that is the biggest thing. I mean, obviously what you said earlier related to, you know, it's all good. You don't have to be perfect, right? Like just be willing to grow and evolve. Well, I get all that. That's great. But for me, a lot of it really, really, really deeply rooted in just show up, man, just be there, because you never know how they're going to change in a short amount of time. You know what I mean?
No doubt. Yeah. Love that, man. And, you know, again, now moving with November, I appreciate what they're doing. Obviously, I think they did one heck of a job bringing you on to, you know, partner up with them, because you're spitting out some great gems, not just for fatherhood, but just for life in general. Now more than ever, we're coming to see, like, and I love the fact that, like, you have athletes coming out, whether it's women's tennis like Osaka or Kevin Love being like, hey, I need to step off, because everyone – we live now in an Instagram perfect world, right?
Yeah.
Your family, take a picture, you're at Disney World. But I always say this because it happens. It happens to me. Like, you take the picture in front of the castle, and like 3 minutes before, 3 minutes after, there was a mental breakdown, whether the ice cream fell down or whatever the case may be. You see that athlete making, oh yeah, they're making so much money. And of course, people who don't have money or who are poor would love to have just a smidge of that. I get that. So I'm not saying it's like these people who are playing in the NBA, but like you see Kevin Love just come out like, I'm not happy. And it's like, wow, you're playing basketball and all those other things. Mental health, I think, now is coming more to the forefront and being like, it's not like something people can't talk about, right?
Right.
And Movember is part of that. It's just making sure that, yes, you should take care of your health physically, emotionally too, but like mental and emotionally, how do you do that? So talk about some of the things that you've kind of discussed with Movember, but also too, you've used in your life to like, just kind of like, hey, I need a mental holiday. I need to focus myself, get back to where I think is like where I can be mentally healthy.
Yeah. Thank you, man. And you're so right in regards to like Movember. You know, like it was like a perfect opportunity for us to connect, right? Everything was incredibly organic, aside from the fact that Movember, of course, is all about the, you know, you see their logo is the mustache, right? That's the only thing that we can't click with together, because I because of my burns, I only grow half of a mustache. So I'm like, as long as you can accept me, guys, with my half mustache, then we're good, right? Like if they can make that exception for me, you know, like then we're good. But, you know, it's so true, man. Like, you know, I think as men, we spend so much time thinking like we got to always show up and we always got to, you know, be the breadwinner and show up for our family and take care of our family, that it's very easy for us not to look after ourselves, right? Not to take care of ourselves. And so it's one of the things that for me, you know, I try to find time to step away in the middle of work, in the middle of everything I got going on. And then the family, I try to like find me time. Like, right, you hear women talk about it a lot, but you don't hear guys really talk about it. So for me, sometimes it's maybe not like, you know, I just go take the dogs to the park, right? And just walk around and just listen to a pod, or, you know, call my buddy and be like, what's going on, man? How's life or whatever? And just kind of BS about whatever's going on, whether it's sports or anything else going on in the world. But even like from the, you know, like obviously with Movember focusing on prostate cancer and testicular cancer, you know, that's one of the things that I think men really don't openly talk about. I mean, I'll be completely honest with you, like, because I don't know my family's medical history, I'm like in this space of like, I don't know, like the doctor's like, is there a history of the, I don't know. So you know what I've done? Like this last year, this whole COVID period, I literally spent time going to the doctor and getting checkups on this and getting checkups on that. Dude, I was getting checkups that doctors were like, you know, you probably don't need that for like another 15, 20 years. I'm like, nah, dog, go for it. We're checking all the boxes right now, right? Yeah. And it's like, but it's a conversation that needs to happen, right? And so it's great that Movember is creating this platform and this space, and not only related to mental health and suicide prevention. Mental health for so long was just this thing that, you know, that no one wanted to talk about, that other people were dealing with. And it's like, no, all of us are dealing with it. It doesn't look the same way, and we're all that having the same, showing the same symptoms, but we're all dealing with mental health in some way, shape, or form. We're all overwhelmed. We're all stressed. We're all frustrated, right? But then again, there's the medical component as well. But then, you know, from the parenting standpoint, right? There's the family man, right? And the episodes they put on. So yeah. I really love what, you know, they're trying to create this space where, hey, we'll get the conversation started. You join in. And if you just feel comfortable sitting back and observing, that's cool. Eventually, you're going to be essentially driving these conversations.
Yeah, no doubt. And I love the fact that you said you're getting all these tests done during like the pandemic. So we moved from New Jersey to North Carolina here now back in like 2015. And of course, like you're scrambling to get physicals for your kids because we're going to new schools. My wife with our medical, like my wife's family history, my family history, like you need to like make sure you're checking up. Everybody's going to the doctor. Everybody's going to the doctor except for one person. That's me. Right?
Yeah.
Didn't go like, my wife's like, when are you going to get a physical? Well, I'm like, I work out. I'm good. I'm good. Right. Working with Movember, seeing all the stuff like at Family Man and like, you know, making sure you're on your health. This month I have a doc's appointment. I set up and I'm going to do that. So the fact that you're doing that, the fact that I'm doing that, and I want to thank Movember, like, yeah, I'm working with them, but like just doing more research on what they're doing. It's like, if I'm preaching all those things about how to be a good dad, you want to be around to be a good dad, right?
Right.
So I appreciate what Movember is doing, because sometimes we're, like you said, like guys might not think of like the time for themselves, because like you're doing work, you're making sure you're there for your kids and all this stuff, there for your spouse. And it's like, all right, maybe I should do a checkup or whatever. Maybe I just want to watch the game right now, right? So you don't even think
exactly
about it.
So, exactly. But it's so true, man. Like I mean, dude, we can have another conversation and I can literally dive into my medical history as to the things that literally the doctor, I love spicy food. I've always eaten spicy food my whole life. And then all of a sudden I start feeling like a little something in my chest, you know, and I'm like, what's that? Right. And I go to the doctor and he's like, yeah, I think, you know, you might have some like, you know, acid buildup. You probably have to stay away from the spices. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, but I think you're fine. And I was like, no, let's get in there. Let's look at it. Let's make sure. And he's like, okay, well, we can do an upper endoscopy. I was like, let's do it. He's like, well, I mean, you sure? I was like, yeah, let's do it. And then I end up going one night to the hospital because my gallbladder, this is all end of last year.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you know, looks like there's a hernia there. There's all this, there's all that stuff that I had no clue. And the doctor's like, you know, we can go in there and do all these tests and is just to make sure. I was like, let's do it, do everything. And he's like, you sure? I think you're fine. It's just, and like, no, do it all, man. Because it's like, you know, the last thing I want to be is, you know, my father-in-law passed away last year and he was 56 and he was 27 years NYPD. I mean, guy was decorated, you know, did his thing. But I could tell you, I mean, I love him. I miss him, but he was stubborn as hell. And he was the guy that, you know, yes, there was some trauma that he experienced, not only his career, but his personal life with my sister-in-law, the youngest one unexpectedly passing away. And that really broke him. But, you know, what took his life was he had a heart attack because he wasn't taking care of himself over these last few years. And what I've seen over this last year is who's living, dealing with that every single day is my wife, my sister-in-law, my mother-in-law, they're affected. Yeah. And so I really look at that. And that was a driving force around me going to the doctor and saying, no, man, we're going to do all these tests. We're going to do everything because I don't want to leave my wife and my daughter and my future child with a void because I didn't, just like you, man, I didn't go and take care of myself. I think I'm good, but who's to say I really am? And so I just really encourage the guys listening right now, if we're all thinking about doing the best for our families, this is part of doing, you know, a favor for your, a solid for your family, because if you're not around, think about how that affects them. And so, you know, just really love Movember, man, ever since, you know, we started rocking together and learning more about the programs and the resources and the conversations that they're having with people, really love everything about it. So I'm just hopefully some guys are listening right now saying, you know, man, there's kind of been this thing I've been putting off. Fine, I'll go, right? I'll go and let me go get that checked out and how awkward that is or whatever. Like, let's just go do it, you know? I mean, it's important, man.
Yeah, it's better to know because, again, when we moved down here, I remember I went for a run. I felt like I thought it was just gas or maybe I was eating the wrong thing and I kept on like leaning on my stomach. Turns out when I went for a run and to tie my shoe, my appendix burst and then like I wasn't feeling good. And then they were like, I went through the different stages. I went like, okay, I want to go to the doctor. And like she was like, you should probably go to get a scan. I'm like, I went to get a scan. They're like, we need to work on you today. And because it exploded, because I wasn't like paying attention to like the days beforehand, it went to the point where they had to do some surgery and my wife was freaking out. And then the doctor's like, yeah, you should have come in a little bit earlier. So again, I'm fine now, like, so to speak, like,
right.
I'm like, I guess I don't need to go to the doctor, but again, talking to you, researching, getting ready for our conversation, working with Movember, it's like, I can't half-ass it. Like, I got to go full in. If I'm going to be in this parenting space and I'm like preaching, like, be there for your kids. Well, I got to be there for my kids. So thanks to you and Movember for starting these conversations and making me and other, hopefully, like you said, other dads and guys, not even if you're not a dad, people that need you, whether you know it or not.
Exactly.
Just take care of yourself. And Movember has, like you mentioned, Family Man. If people go to us.movember.com, of course, we'll put up links. There's just so many things that resources that we never like. Our parents maybe didn't have, or the generations before us didn't have, but now we have that. Use that. Instead of like maybe playing a game on your phone, go to Movember.com.
Exactly.
Go to Family Man. There's so many great things that, not, you know, I'm learning so much from you and I appreciate that. And I know other people will. So I love that.
Yeah.
Before we get into the fatherhood quick five, I got to ask you, man, Movember's putting on a cool Father's Day comedy show. Talk a little bit about that.
Oh yeah. So that's next Thursday, right? June 17th at, I think 6 PM Pacific and 9 PM Eastern. Which of course you can go to Movember.com to get tickets, but, yeah, man, you know, and I think that's one of the cool things is having this virtual comedy night. It allows, you know, guys, to have conversation around stuff where it doesn't have to be so heavy and so intense. It can still be light. It can still be fun. We could still make jokes about, you know, what we're experiencing, what's going on, the thing that our kid do. I mean, before you and I started, right, I was telling you, I was like, yo, like I'm sitting here printing stuff. My wife asked me to print something. Like, you know, my kid thinks that just because I'm working from home now, like I'm in the office, that means I'm accessible 24/7. That's not what that means, right? And so it's like, you know, but it's like to be able to have a community in a space where we can all laugh and be like, all right, cool. Like, so you're experiencing that too. Oh, okay. Me too. Right. It makes us, you know, cause you get caught up in this space. I think sometimes where you're like, oh, the grass is greener on the other side. Right. I wish I was single or I wish I, you know, was somewhere else or I wish. And it's like, you realize as you start to have these conversations with other cats, you're like, oh, this is everybody. Everybody's dealing with this same thing. And so, you know, it just makes it that you just get tools and resources on how to deal with it. So comedy is important to me. It's been such an important part of allowing me to just navigate through this earth, to be honest with you, with having, you know, third degree burns on my face and on my body. People don't always know how to communicate with me. And so I've used humor as a way to essentially break the ice. So I'm glad that they're doing it. So again, June 17th, Jonathan Bennett is going to be, you know, the host. You know him from Mean Girls, but just go to Movember.com and get your tickets and check it out because I think it's going to be something that a lot of people will enjoy.
Yeah, don't sleep on this. Go make sure you get the tickets up. And again, Movember is doing things to help us men, right? And how many times everyone's like, oh, I don't feel like people care about me or this or that. Like, Movember's doing stuff to care about guys. So make sure you support them.
Exactly. Like you don't have that many excuses. At a certain point, you're like, okay, like they're looking after me, right? It's just a matter of me doing something about it.
No doubt, man. I really appreciate, I mean, this was such a great conversation. Now we're going to have some fun with the Fatherhood Quick Five.
All right.
Favorite family movie right now you guys are feeling. What is it?
Oh, Jumanji Next Level.
Okay.
Yeah, Jumanji Next Level. We all have voices, we have characters, we it literally got us through like spring and summer of 2020. And I mean, yeah, Jumanji Next Level, that's our jam right now.
The idea of like creating inside jokes with your kids so they like know to do create inside jokes with their friends because they could hear something. Like there's some friends from like high school that don't live near me, but I hear a song or I hear a phrase and I just start laughing. I text my buddy, right. I'm like, dude, and use the line and he says it right back. So it's just, I love it.
Well, it's like we now do this thing. Like we do this thing with there's a part of the movie where Kevin Hart's character and he's like, oh, we got to get out of here. Right. Like, or no, it's the Rock's character. And he's like, oh, we got to get out of here because he's like Danny DeVito, whatever.
Yeah.
And it was just hilarious because now, like, I tell you how many situations we find ourselves in when we're all like, we got to get out of here. Right. Like it's like, and my daughter will do it. You know, like she just turned 9. So she's like an 8-year-old, 7-year-old doing it. And it's just like, yeah. We love it. So that's our jam.
Love it, man. Nice. Favorite family song you guys are dancing to, or is there like an artist you couldn't wait to introduce her to?
Ooh. Well, I feel like she's always the one introducing us, okay. You know, to, right. You know, she's always like jamming out. So right now we're all, my wife is going through a breakup too, you know, by listening to Olivia Rodrigo and Driver's License and Deja Vu and Brutal and Good For You. Like, I'm like, yo, are you happily married or not? Like, what do you, like, like what the hell is going on in your life? They and she's like, oh my god, like I know what she's going. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, what are you going through? Like I thought we were good. Like so, like it's like the jam now in the house. Like Olivia Rodrigo, her whole album Sour, yeah. Like right. And I'm like singing these songs, like Happier or whatever. But to be honest, man, I just really love introducing her to like old school music and all genres, right? Like from, you know, from like Lynyrd Skynyrd, which I love, right? Like yeah. To old 90s hip hop, right? Clean version, right? Yeah. Like, but you know,
my man, yep, love, same here.
Yeah, I just love, I want her to have a variety of music, right? Her walk up song to softball is Jump Around. And everyone else like picks like this slow tones and it's like also you hear and it's like everyone's like yeah jump around right and it's like she loves that jam so
the pitcher's like oh my gosh we got a home run hitter here if they're coming up with this song right
I'm about to set this thing off but like we just I don't know man we there's not one particular thing right now it's like I said Olivia Rodrigo jokingly but I mean we really do listen to everything and anything right now.
That's such a good dad answer right there with like my daughters that's their wheelhouse. It's like the Taylor Swift but then like too like Guardians of the Galaxy they started loving the Jackson 5 and all this other stuff.
Yeah,
introduced them to Stevie Wonder and they just love these different songs and like we're playing like games last weekend. We're playing dominoes or Yahtzee, whatever. And they're like, "Hey, can you put on Stevie Wonder's station?" We're like, "Yeah, yes, we can." So yeah,
that's awesome. Love that, man. Love that.
Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
You know, honestly, and this may sound a little corny, but I think anywhere as long as we're together. To be honest. Because I mean, even
JR,
a lot of
people say that, so I don't think it's corny, man. Like,
yeah,
they always say like cliches are like overdone, and well, they're cliches for a reason because that's what people feel like, right? And
right.
You don't care where they are, as like you said, you look over, you see your family smiling, laughing, you're a good time, like, good, I'm good, right?
yeah, like, listen, man, like, I, you know, like yesterday we flew back from New York to Austin. Like we live in Austin now and, you know, flight was delayed. We're stuck in the airport, but we're always like laughing. We're always joking. We're, you know, if somebody's upset, the other two are, you know, kind of like, oh, then leave them alone, you know, like whatever. Right. Like yeah. Everybody always has somebody. And so we wrote a note because we, you know, had baby showers, you know, for the, you know, and wrote a note to the baby, you know, just like, just know that we're always on an adventure, but we always do it together. And that's the way we roll in our family. So no matter where we go, no matter what happens, we're just going to be doing it together. So to the point where like, this is how much our daughter is like, she thinks that she's not a child, that she's not the child in this relationship. We went to Sedona, Arizona, end of last year for like a little family vacay, right? And it was like my in-laws, uncle, like, I mean, whole family, best friend, his wife, everybody. Well, then my wife, when we got back, my wife was like, you know, it would have been nice, you know, for us to go on those other hikes. And she's like, you know, so me and you, right? She says me and her. She's like, we'll go back one day and make it like, you know, a trip for, you know, for us or whatever. And my daughter's in the back seat and she like stands up and she's like, you know, yeah. So when are we going back? And my wife's like, no, she looks, she's like, daddy and mommy need their time as well. She's like, Yeah, she said, you need family time. That's me. When are we going back? Like, it was like, no, you're not going without me. I'm a part of this duo here, like, for life, homie. So it's just like, you know, that's for us. It's like, as long as we're together, man, we can make it work anywhere we go.
Oh, I love that, man. And again, we kind of talk a little bit about sports. I love the Straight Cash, homie. I get that. I love it. Deion Sanders, man. Prime time, must be the money, all that good stuff. But for you, I know you're a Saints fan, right?
I am.
Okay. So there's a lot of great players. As you can kind of tell, maybe I'm a big Jordan fan, Air Jordan fan as well. I love the fact that Michael Thomas wears like the Air Jordan 11 cleats and all
Yes, that's so sick.
For you, is there, you can either do like a favorite current player right now, or is there a favorite moment in Saints? I mean, of course, maybe one in Super Bowl, yeah, but just for you as a fan, does something stick out more than anything? Because I'm thinking of one that I think all Saints fans love, but I just want to know if, like, for you, like, do you have a favorite Saints moment?
Definitely the Gleason blocking the punt and know the recovery, especially
obviously bouncing from that just right now.
Yeah, man, just bouncing back. Yeah, bouncing back from Katrina and that moment and how crazy the whole space was, like the place was. That was definitely a moment. But I love speaking of Saints, like being a Saints fan. So I'm like one of those fans that is like pretty intense about being a Saints fan. I'm pretty intense about it, to the point where, like, I don't really go on Twitter like that, but during football season, I'm that guy that goes on Twitter like, yeah. Yo, like, suddenly I think I'm a scout or a coach, you know, in training. And I'm like, Drew, I love Drew. Drew's my guy. But man, like, Drew, what kind of throw? You know, you can't do that. But, you know, I start all of a sudden coaching from not even the sidelines, coaching from sometimes the bathroom. I'm in the bathroom and I'm on the toilet and I'm sitting there tweeting about stuff. And
such a dad move too.
Yo, man. And so, to the point, check this, man. So, like, obviously Drew, I love Drew, right? He's retired. Like, you know, he's going to ride off into the sunset and continue cooking. That's all he posts about his food now. But Taysom, love Michael Thomas, DeMario Davis, right? Like love those guys. Kamara, of course, you know. But here's my quick little story about being a Saints fan. So this spring, like 2021 spring, I'm looking, free agency, everything, right? Drew news comes out, he's retiring. I'm like, I'm gonna go on Twitter. I'm gonna see what other guys on the team are saying about this, right? So I go and I click on a couple cats and I'm like, okay, cool. Like Cam Jordan or whatever. Then I go and I click on Chris Garner-Johnson, right? He's a defensive back, plays like the nickel. Yeah. As always, you know, he's a scrappy player. I click on his profile and it pops up and it says, he has blocked you. And I was like, what? Yo, I got blocked by CJ Gardner-Johnson.
What'd you say to him?
So then I was like, what did I say? Because that must take a lot for someone to block you, right? Yeah. So I go back to my history. All I said was, like, first of all, I remember when he was a rookie and he came in and I remember seeing him play and I was like tweeting out like, yo, love this dude, love his heart, love his passion. This dude came out of nowhere, like blah, blah, blah. He retweeted that. I remember him retweeting that to the point where I was like, oh, he just retweeted my stuff, right? So then for him to block me, I'm like, what happened? So I go back and I look and all I
was
said
was the Vikings year, game?
Was it the Vikings? No, it was, what was, man, it was like every game with him, to be honest. Because with the Bears game, it was like, he's always saying something where he's getting these dudes like pissed and they're fighting, right? And all I posted was like, I love his heart. I love his passion. He just has to be able to control it because he's going to hurt his team and he's going to hurt his pocket. That's all I said.
Yeah.
Blocked. That's the only time. But not only that, it didn't stop there, man. I go and I look at Alvin Kamara. You have been blocked from Alvin Kamara's page. I've never said anything about him. And it was like, yo, I am a diehard Saints fan. And I've been blocked by two players. One that is like almost MVP of the league at times, right? Like, it's so hilarious to me. I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to be allowed back in the dome. Like, there's probably going to be like
pictures of you being like,
don't let this dude in. This dude is like, he goes after us. And I'll go after everybody, man. I'm like, Drew, I love Drew, Hall of Famer, like one of the greatest of all time. I'll go after Drew. I'm like, damn, Drew, why'd you throw that ball, man?
I guess that Bucks game was tough for you, I bet, right? God. See, I'm a Niners fan, and everybody during the Chiefs-Niners Super Bowl, they're like, oh, you're up by 10. I'm like, have you been watching this year? The Chiefs are a Madden. They're playing Madden. We're playing when every other team is playing in real life. And everyone's like, you're not happy? I'm like, it's when Garoppolo overthrew Sanders for that touchdown, that possible touchdown, I said to my wife, because my kids were in bed, I'm like, it's over. She goes, well, yeah, that's good because they're winning. I'm like, no, the Chiefs are coming back. I'm like, what? I'm like, no, it's over. I'm like, this is where it turns. She goes, don't get off. I'm like, no, just don't. I'm like, I can't complain. They've won 5 Super Bowls. I'm not like upset, but I just looked at it. I'm like, it's over. And I remember I got up when they scored that, or when they scored that touchdown and they went up and the Chiefs went up. I was so ticked off. I was making mac and cheese for my daughter's lunches for the next day. And she goes, you know, I'm like, no, I'm just done. I don't. She goes, are you eating something? I'm like, no, I'm making mac and cheese for the kids for tomorrow's lunch to make it easier. I'm not going to be in a good mood.
I'm telling you, the Chiefs are like, I equated it to, the Chiefs are like the Golden State Warriors of 2015, 16, where they can just come back from like 30 down and just shoot threes and all of a sudden have the lead.
Like, so, oh, we should play now? Okay, we'll play now, right?
Okay, cool. All right, I guess we'll do this now, right? And it's like, the Saints fan is like, I love my Saints, man, but clearly there's a couple guys that get a little sensitive about somebody saying something. And I got a friend that's a former football player, and I was like, I asked him, I was like, yo, was I wrong? And he was like, you know, well, think, and he said this, he said, well, think about it. If somebody came to your job and started critiquing you, I said, yeah, but it's a different, right? Because your job is public, right? Like your job is public. And I was like, isn't there some sort of difference? Like no one's, and I was like, and even so, if somebody's telling you something, like, you know how many times I went on message boards when I had TV opportunities and they told me not to go on message boards and I did. Dude, for real, like, not to make it serious, you know how many times I went on message boards and saw people talk about, like, yo, look at this dude's face, like, what's wrong with his face, and he shouldn't, you know, whatever, like, stuff, people said that stuff about me, like, you know, whatever, like, it is what it is, but I literally would never take offense to that. I'd be like, ah, that's on you, right? Like, that's on you. So for two guys to go out of their way and block me for something that really was very minor in comparison to what people really do on Twitter, I was like, I don't know. I think that's like a character issue. I think there's like some character issues there.
Right?
Like,
when this plays out, you know how many more Saint players are going to block you now? No, I'm just right. But just quickly, because I know we're kind of going off on a tangent, but like what you said about like people like don't go on message boards, right? That, I think that's, especially when I talk to people who are in the limelight, people know, right? Especially your story and just people who follow you.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you want to show your kids the drudge of the, you know, the internet, right? I guarantee you all those people that said stuff to you would not say that to your face. They're keyboard gangsters, right? They can, right. They have those keyboard muscles.
I love that, keyboard gangsters. I love that.
Yeah, I think it was Sinbad. I think Sinbad said that on like the Breakfast Club or something along those lines. So that was Sinbad, like old school. They were talking to him. He's like, oh, those are keyboard gangsters. I'm like, spot on, man. I loved him. A Different World. No, was it? Yeah, right? A Different World. Sinbad was on there.
No, he was on. Was it Different World?
What was after the Cosby Show? It was the show after that. I thought it was A Different World when like the college and like and all that. Maybe I'm not.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
But as I digress that, but like it's just something where you can teach like your kids. And I've talked to my kids, like they don't have social media accounts just yet. I'm like, you got so much that you're dealing with. You need other people that you don't even know talking about you, right? Again, it's just there's those teachable moments, and like again, like I love your strength being like, that's on them, it's not on me, but it's like it just trolls, like your internet trolls, like just stop it. So I just wanted to like just kind of talk about that, man.
Well, great. It's funny because like it is like one of those things that, you know, if I saw Chris Garner Johnson in on the street, I would be like, yo, like I love your play. But dude, you're going to get fined for all this stupid stuff that you're doing. I would still, that's something I feel comfortable telling
you.
You didn't
say something negative about like all these things. You're praising him, but like, hey, I love you, but don't do this, man. Right?
Yeah, exactly. and yes, you're right. It was A Different World. Cause wasn't his name like Coach Walter or Coach Oaks, something like that. But yeah, man, anyways. So yeah, that you're right. We did go off on a tangent. I mean, that's my whole Saints thing, but I just, you know, I'll see who
that's
blocks.
That's a great story, though. As a football fan, like, football is like my number one sport that I love to watch. But hearing that from you, man, I love it. That's great.
I'll see who blocks me. This September, I'll circle back with you and see if I've been blocked by anybody else. The whole nice. Saints, like, Twitter page is going to block me.
Oh, I love it. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids will use to describe you as a dad.
Oh, definitely encouraging. Loving, and supportive. Well, right. I guess encouraging, supportive are probably the same.
Yeah, right? They're different things. These are your three words. You can use whatever three words you want. Yeah.
Right? I'm gonna hit you up later and be like, no, can we substitute it? Can you have like Siri? Can you have like Siri add in another word in lieu of like the third one? I'm gonna be like encouraging, loving. He said, you know. Like what? People listening are like, what? Wait, where the hell did that come from?
He's a voice actor now. Great. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think those three for me. I think that's that. The one thing I want her to know is that I'm always encouraging her, right? And yeah. to venture out. I want her to be loving to all people, to herself, inclusive and just welcoming to everybody. But then supportive in a sense, like if she comes to me and says, hey, listen, this is what I want to do or I don't want to do, then I'm going to be like, I support you. I got you. I'm here unconditionally. So I think that's the way I translate that.
Man, that is fantastic. People follow JR and pretty much on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at I am JR Martinez, correct?
Yeah, that's it, man.
And hit him up on the website, jrmartinez.com. And while you're on the interwebs, make sure you go to us.movember.com. Check out that comedy night and check out the family, man. Check out all the different things because these conversations are very important. Like Jay and I were having, and I hope it inspires you to take care of your health. All facets of your health. But again, thanks to Movember for working with me and also setting up this great interview with JR. I appreciate your insight on fatherhood and just everything that you're sharing and just the honesty, because I think people will reach out to me and will say, like, I appreciate JR honesty because they're going through it and they're like, we're not alone. So I wish you and your family right. continued success. I can't wait to see the other child arrive and just, you know, you guys building the family. You guys just awesome, awesome family. And I know you guys are going to embrace the next child with so much love, man.
Appreciate that, man. I already got the Saints onesies lined up, so we're good.
Nice. Cool.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.